Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for people who are finally pregnant after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying, multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which have sadly included pregnancy loss, I am finally pregnant. Hi there, everyone. How are you doing? Welcome to episode 4 of the Finally Pregnant podcast. This is the first episode that I am releasing where, I'm not pregnant anymore. So just over 2 weeks ago, on the 10th of June, I had our beautiful daughter, Ren Elizabeth. You may know this if you follow me on Instagram, but it might be that you don't, and so this has come as news to you. I suspect that I'll do an episode on my birth story at some point, but just to say that it was quite laborious, the initial induction kind of section of it, but the actual delivery, so from when I went into the delivery suite, was about 16 hours, and it was a vaginal birth with a small episiotomy. We do talk about episiotomies during this episode, and Ren is just the most beautiful thing in the world. I can't even begin to explain how in heaven we are. She's actually on my lap at the moment because I was trying to find a moment where she was asleep, but that doesn't seem to be happening. And I'm very keen to get this episode out in good time. So who are we talking to in this episode? We're talking to the fabulous Emma and Gabby from Big Fat Negative podcast. If you don't know that podcast already, do go and find it. I'll put information about it in the show notes, and you can follow them both on Instagram. And during this recording, we were at a stage, it was recorded a few weeks ago now, we were at a stage where Gabby was in her first trimester, Emma was in her second, and I was in my third trimester. So I thought it would be a really great conversation to have because we were all at different stages across the 9 months. I really hope that you get lots from it. I'm not going to keep talking because there's every chance that Ren is going to pipe up quite soon, although she does look quite like she's about to go to sleep. Which doesn't say much about my vocal tones. But right, I will leave you to it. Thank you so much to everyone who's listened. Please do remember to subscribe, rate and review, and also to share the podcast. I'm delighted to say we've had over 5,000 downloads, which is just incredible. And I'm really looking forward to sharing more episodes with you each week. Take care. Bye-bye. Hi, so we're here today with Emma and Gabby from Big Fat Negative.
Hello.
How are you both?
Well, yeah, good.
Yeah, good. We're excited.
Yeah, very excited to be here.
Yeah.
Good, thanks a lot. I can tell you all that I am like massively intimidated recording this podcast with these two legends. So, you know, if I sound a little bit nervous, that is why.
Can I just say, we did a recording the other day and my cat jumped on the table twice during the recording. We're not professional.
No.
We're not.
No. I don't know. Many would disagree. We are in a public space, so there might be a little bit of background noise as well, just to let everyone know. But we'll try and keep it as quiet as possible.
I think there's like children playing, so there's ambiance.
There is.
Yeah.
There is. How very apt.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
given the podcast.
Indeed. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. So the reason I've asked these two ladies to join me today is because, as you may or may not know, both of them have quite recently had, well, less recently, had their positive tests following IVF.
Yeah.
So the three of us are sat here pregnant in first, second and third trimester, which is nuts.
Satisfying.
Yeah.
Very satisfying.
Very pleasing.
Yeah, I like it.
Because I think we met first last August.
Yeah, just before we launched our podcast.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And none of us were pregnant at that point.
No, we were all miserable.
Yeah.
Not that pregnancy equals happiness, Gabriella.
No, equally, yeah.
Exactly.
No.
But we were all pissed off.
Yes. We were all on the treadmill, that is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, should we start with you, Emma, first? Do you want to kind of talk to us about where you are with your pregnancy?
Yeah. So, today I am 24 weeks and 3 days. So I have passed the viability stage.
Yes.
Although that does only mean my baby's going to have got a 50% chance of living rather than definitely dying. So that's good.
Yeah.
Not that I'm...
If it's born.
I'm pessimistic. Yeah. If it's born now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. 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 If it's born later.
It's a nice milestone to reach. There are several milestones, yeah. And that is a nice one to reach, definitely.
And it's been, do you know what? It's, apart from the very beginning, it's been a really easy pregnancy. Like, I didn't have morning sickness. I got a bit tired sometimes, but, like, I always get tired anyway, so that's not that hard. The very beginning, though, was quite hard because I had quite a lot of bleeding coupled with some very unsympathetic nurse experiences where people basically phoned me and told me that I was losing the baby, and I was like, can you not, like, just be really blasé like that? And they were like, well, I'm just being honest. And I had to kind of lecture them that, you know, I've been trying for a baby for 3.5 years. I'm not like a teenager who doesn't want this baby. Like, I can't just try again. Could you maybe try and be a bit less of a dick?
Yes.
And she was like, well, I'm really sorry, but... And I was just like, fuck you. So the very beginning was very traumatic, and I think it really made me quite anxious. And I think dealing with pregnancy after infertility is quite hard, because at the back of your mind it's going to cost me a lot to try again. Mm-hmm. It's the NHS for me. But, you know, it's a lot of effort. You can't just go and... a shag.
That's it. It is the financial, but it's also the emotional.
That sounds actually like I'm kind of saying that, oh, you know, people who get pregnant normally and then lose their baby have a great time. That's not true. But it's anxious, isn't it? You get anxious.
Definitely. And I think you might have been the one to coin the phrase scanxiety.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, scanxiety, which it's taken me like 24 and a half weeks to learn how to say. Before every single scan, I think I've had about 10 scans. Mm-hmm. I've just been like, you know, pacing up and down rooms. I've been unable to sit still. I've been feeling sick. I've cried. My poor husband. He's not the most sympathetic at the best of times, but he's just been like, chill out, Emma, chill out. And every time it's been fine, but I just get on that bed, I keep my eyes squeezed tightly shut, and I don't open them until somebody says it's all right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get on the bed and say, just tell me there's a heartbeat, and then you can carry on with whatever you need to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I just need that first and foremost.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you get to the anatomy scan stage, and they give you like a bit of paper with the like... There's a baby crying in the background.
There is, no, quite loudly.
It's quite stressful. But yeah, you get to the anatomy scan stage, and there's like, they give you a, like, what centile it's in, mm-hmm. or percentile, whatever it is. And if it's like anything below 50%, I'm like, shit, we've got a deformed baby. Everything's gone wrong. And my husband's like, Emma, chill out.
He sounds quite chilled. That's what we need.
I feel like on the surface he's chilled, but actually he's like suppressing his feelings.
Yeah, maybe.
And one day it's just all going to come out.
It's been a rock for you.
He's trying.
So that...
He's trying so hard, bless him.
You need it, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I think we all need it.
Well, this is it. I'm conscious because I know that when kind of I've spoken about TTC, you know, that kind of side of it, the person who is having the... drugs and, you know, the kind of procedures and things, they deal with it kind of first and foremost, and the partner looks after them, and then the partner ends up kind of dealing with it afterwards almost. And I that's probably exactly the same for pregnancy in many ways as well.
I feel like we interviewed somebody who pointed out that you're the person that's in that body, mm-hmm. and the other person isn't in your body. And I thought that was a really nice way of putting it. It's like, you're the one that's like, oh God, what was that twinge? What was that thing? And your partner's just like, shut up. I don't want to hear about your bloody twinges anymore. I mean, he's nicer than that. But you know what I mean? They're just like, from their point of view, they're like, everything's fine until you're like copiously bleeding and mm-hmm. something's coming out.
Yeah.
You know, they, and also I find a lot, like I've spoken to a lot of people who've been in the middle of a baby loss, and you know, via Instagram, we're a very supportive community. We all talk all the time. And, you know, I've talked people through baby losses. And what they tend to find is that their partner is really optimistic until the point of no return. So while that person is trying to deal with the fact that actually, I could be losing this baby, and they're trying to come to terms with that, the partner is like, it's fine, everything's fine. And I'll just get messages from people being like, he's driving me insane. He's driving me crazy.
My husband yesterday turned around and said to me, like, you know, we've got 9 months of this. You're going to have to find a way to not be so obsessive about everything that you can feel in your body and, like, just stop, you know, stop freaking out. And I just turned around to him and I was like, you can't say that to me. Like, you don't know what it's like to feel pains that you've never felt before and not know what that means.
Yeah.
And he shut up pretty quickly.
And I think, unfortunately, and fortunately, like, it's good, bad and ugly, because we are involved in this community, and this goes for anyone, really, but you know a lot. You do know too much, perhaps, as well. There's a fine line, isn't there? So,
yeah, and it's funny because I am, you know, as you hit the 24-week stage, it's very exciting. But I found that throughout my pregnancy, somebody has posted on Instagram about their loss 1 week ahead of me every week. And, you know, that's why Instagram and our community is amazing, because we can talk out about that. But I think there's also an element of, you've got to know when to just, today is not my day to go on social media. Today is my day to stay off. Because if I see something that is going to scare me and I'm already in quite an anxious state, today I don't feel resilient.
Yeah, that's good advice at any point.
Yeah,
to be
absolutely.
Honest. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Just good life advice.
Really. Yeah.
Sometimes just avoid it.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to see a really skinny 20-year-old only eating kale.
Exactly, exactly. So, Gabby, if we can come and join you for a minute.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for me.
Do you want to give us a bit of background on where you are?
Yeah, sure. So, it is all very new for me. I'm almost 7 weeks, so yeah, it's one of those things where I'm talking about it now, but the chances that it could all go wrong still feel very high. And so the anxiety kind of set in, I would say, when I got my positive test. I was really excited, obviously, and just so relieved, I think, like, I'm just shocked, I guess, as well. And I called the clinic with a big smile on my face and I said, I've got positive. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to have to order more drugs, because if you're doing a medicated IVF cycle and you get a positive, you take the drugs for potentially up to 12 weeks. So I said, you know, I need X amount to get me up to 12 weeks. And they just turned around and said, well, we're not going to give you the 12 weeks. We'll give you up to your 7-week scan. And if that goes well, then we'll give you the rest. And I mean, that is a very practical consideration from the clinic's point of view. But to hear someone say that to you, it just brings home the fact that lots of people don't make it past that scan. So we're not going to just expect that you will.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to hear, isn't it? That's like a massively pessimistic...
It was.
Understandable. And we do try and be rational, of course, but...
Yeah. And it was weird because I spoke to another nurse a couple of days later and she was like, oh no, we'll give you up to the 12 weeks. Of course, you know, let's think positive. So it's obviously like one person's going to do one thing and the other person's happy to just give you the 12 weeks, which is just weird.
Well, I like to imagine a kind of austere matron.
Yeah.
Who's very practical.
Yeah. But saving money where possible.
Not so good on the emotional intelligence.
No.
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, so far it's been amazing. Obviously, I've let myself have daydreams again that I didn't let myself have prior, and had conversations with my husband that I've been so desperate to have, silly things like names and what bloody baby carriers to get and things. But obviously you have those conversations and then 10 minutes later I feel like I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? Yeah, exactly.
Jinx is a word that comes up a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. I've stuffed it now. But that's fine. You can kind of manage that, I think, with your kind of try and calm those thoughts down. Then on Friday, I had a bit of an incident where basically I was just working from home, went to the loo and noticed a lot of big drops of blood and obviously freaked out and rang the clinic. And I'm you know, I've been doing a podcast with Emma. I know that bleeding happens. I know very well that bleeding happens. So part of my brain was like, it's okay. It doesn't, you know, it's not necessarily bad. Let's, you know, let's keep calm. And spoke to the clinic and they said, you're 6 weeks, so it's too early to do a scan. So you can come in and have a blood test and you'll get the results on Monday. This is on Friday. And I was just like, why? Well, that's no good. Like, why? I need you to tell me if I'm having a miscarriage. getting a blood test result on Monday is just no good to me. But I went in anyway and had a blood test. And basically the nurse was talking to me as if I was miscarrying. She said, you know, things like, it's okay to be sad. You're not alone. You'll have your baby one day. And I was just sitting there kind of like, oh, okay, so that's it then, is it? We're just assuming that this is over. And I just started crying, obviously. But then at the end, she was finished and she kind of set me off on my way. And I just said, actually, can I speak to a doctor? Like, I'd actually really like to speak to one. So they said, okay. They put me out in the waiting room. At one point, the receptionist came over and said, do you want to wait in the private waiting room if you're more comfortable? And I was like, oh, God, my face must be a right mess. Trying to hide me. But anyway, eventually I did speak to a doctor. And the doctor was just a million times better. He just said, okay, tell me what happened. When did it start? What's it like? Is it still going? And it just made me feel so much better. And he just said, look, we see bleeding all the time and it's not always bad news. And then he said, look, we can do a scan, which wasn't on offer before, but he was like, let's do a scan. And then, you know, we're not sure if we'll see anything, but it might make you feel a bit better. So did a scan and it was incredible. I saw a heartbeat, which was just insane.
And you did see stuff. They could see stuff.
They could see stuff. And he said, look, you know, I didn't say it to you before because I wasn't sure, but look, you've got a really strong heartbeat. This is all, you know, it's measuring very well for, it's, you know, for the stage you're at. And I was just like, so relieved. But then we got up and, sorry if this is TMI, the probe came out and it was covered in blood. And then the sheet that I'd been sitting on was covered in blood. And I was just like, how can you see the heartbeat and then see that and not be just so confused? It was really horrible. But the doctor said, look, it's, you know, again, TMI, sorry, it's a bit brown, which means that it's probably stopping now. So actually we just need to hope that it doesn't continue and then everything looks like it's fine.
The weight is back on.
Yeah, so that was 2 days ago. And yeah, my head's just all over the place. Like I don't think I can properly relax now. If I wasn't relaxed before, definitely not relaxed now.
It's a trauma. It's a traumatic experience.
Definitely. Yeah. But it really surprises me that they said that you couldn't have the scan.
Yeah.
Because even if you don't get the heartbeat at that point, because it's too early.
I didn't have a heartbeat at that point.
Well, but what you want is you will just want to know it's in the right place, don't you?
That's what I was saying. Yeah, totally. Because I'd been paranoid about ectopic. As one of my many paranoias earlier in the week. So I was kind of like, well, can we at least find out, yeah, that it's in the right place? And, you know, it's got what it needs to have at this stage, even if that's not a heartbeat.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it was a weird one. But then, I was like, God, I hope that's not the last time I see that heartbeat, because my husband wasn't there. So I was kind of like, that kind of runs through your head. You're like, what if that's the last time? It's just so bloody hard to deal with.
It really is. And, you know, when I was thinking about this episode and, you know, what we would talk about, and it's sort of like, you know, what questions have you got in the first trimester that you could ask kind of either Emma or myself, and what do I wish that I had known then that I could tell someone now? And so much of it is, you know, that it's just really bloody hard, you know, it really is. And there are milestones, definitely, and the 12 weeks is one, the 20 weeks is another, the 24 weeks. But within that, there's so many different things that come up. And, you know, we were talking beforehand that like the bleeding thing. I've read something just recently that said, you know, they didn't realise how much you could bleed during a pregnancy and it be okay, you know, that it can be really quite significant. And certainly, Emma, I know you've experienced this to a degree, and now Gabby. And I've never experienced bleeding in pregnancies where I've miscarried, or in this one, you know, where I'm now kind of 33 and a half weeks. And like, it would absolutely petrify me completely. Yeah. And I put it down to the drugs that I've been on. But clearly that's not the case with anyone. I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, every single pregnancy, whether it's good, bad or ugly, is different depending on who you are.
Yeah, like I've been feeling a bit sick, which has been nice.
Yeah, you know, reassuring. I had that nice level of, like, yeah.
I've never been so happy to feel nauseous. My boobs don't hurt. Not at all. I'm like, why don't my boobs hurt? What's going wrong there? Are they not doing what they're supposed to be doing? Yeah, it's just like constantly like trying to, like, your brain's just like, you know, what else am I supposed to feel? What's that twinge? What, you know?
Like, bodies are all different. One of my friends had her period every month for 3 months during her first pregnancy.
Really?
Yeah, her first 3 months. She thought she was 3 months less pregnant than she was.
Because of that.
Because of that. And then she had a scan and it was a big, big surprise. Wow. She was like, oh.
Do you know what? And that's so true, because I know a friend of my sister's, I think she went in because she thought that she had some IBS stuff going on.
Yeah.
And was told she was 5 months pregnant. You know, so no symptoms, no expectation, nothing then.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine? That's like, for us, would be a dream in a way, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, look, you're about to have a baby.
Yes, done.
Oh, my word. We can hope. Maybe for number two, if and when we get there.
Oh, man.
Because that's what everyone said to you. Oh, the second one's going to come really quickly. You're going to be so fertile afterwards. You've got all of that to come. I'm literally already getting that.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh
my
god.
Completely.
Who is saying that to you?
Just random people.
Oh
people,
my god.
It's like one of the things that's really annoyed me about being pregnant, and I hate to say that, but and it did only actually happen once, and I thought it was going to be like this as the rest of my pregnancy. Everyone talks to you about being pregnant and pregnancy.
They do.
Oh my
that's
god.
All they talk about, and you're like, I've got a job.
Yeah, it's true.
But also at the beginning, I didn't want to talk about pregnancy at all.
Mm.
Like, I was wearing a baby on board badge once. And I must have been about 10 weeks, and I went to the post office to pick up a parcel, and the guy behind the window just said, oh, when's the little one due? And I withdrew really fast. I was like, what? Because I wasn't comfortable talking about it at all. And poor guy was just making conversation. He was so nice.
Yeah.
But I couldn't handle it. I was like, oh, August. And I like mumbled it. I was like, oh, it's due in August.
Yeah.
But I was so stiff. I could feel my whole frame just stiffening up and just being like, I don't want to talk about this at all.
Yeah, I find, we were talking about this earlier, that now my normal friends who are pregnant are coming to me and talking to me about their pregnancies. And I find I don't want to talk to people who haven't been through what we've been through about their pregnancy. They are still the other to me.
The enemy.
And I don't feel like there's a proper kinship there yet. Like, I just still feel a bit like, no, like, I'm not ready to talk to you about this yet, which is very strange.
Sometimes I text some of my friends for advice. So I'll be like, is this normal? Or like, I don't know, like, do I need a pram or whatever? And they'll, you do need a pram.
Thanks for confirming that. That was a question for me later.
But I'll say, like, you know, I'll have to psych myself up a bit. Because then, and then one of my friends texted me yesterday and was like, I don't know if this will help, but one of her friends who'd sent her like a big list of things that she'll need, and she was like, just to save you from buying all the crap. And I was like, that's cool. And then in my head I was like, we're not buying anything until we're on the way back from the hospital. Like, I feel so uncomfortable even looking at a list of stuff. And this particular person who compiled this list had got pregnant just very, very around the time that we found out we needed IVF.
Okay.
And she'd been the first person that one of my other friends had like warned me about her being pregnant, and I just felt so much resentment still. It's horrible. I hate it. I hate feeling resentful all the time. But I do, and it doesn't go away.
No, it's just really easy for them.
Yeah, it's so easy for her.
Mm. Yeah, one of the things I've been kind of feeling is because obviously we are part of this community, and in that sense I feel like very lucky, and like I don't really deserve for this to have worked for me first time, fingers crossed it continues, but obviously it might not, but like this so far it's been successful, and so I don't feel like I deserve it. But then when I look at my other friends in real life, I'm like, oh, I fucking deserve this. Like, it's this weird thing of like, no, I do, and then I look at us and I'm like, well, no, I don't.
That
very strange.
That was definitely one of my first emotions after I got my positive pregnancy test. Like, within hours, I was like, but there are people who've tried so much harder than me. Like, I got it on my second transfer, and I had a year between transfers because I'd had a whole load cancelled. But I was like, I don't deserve this because there's people who've been through 10 rounds of IVF and haven't got a baby. Like, why do I get this? And it's, I don't know if it's a like, slightly smug emotion to have, but it's a weird sensation.
Yeah.
Really odd. You can't just be like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people are.
Well, they are. And that's the thing. And I have a lot of people come and say to me, like now when I'm in a fortunate position, you know, being pregnant, that people do come and ask me about this, or, you know, like, I feel really guilty. What should I do? And my thing is, I don't feel guilty, you know, because, like, yeah. And you know, and I would recommend that no one else feel guilty, because, you know, how could you rectify that by waiting another couple of years, you know,
yeah,
and
exactly.
then it would be okay. You know, it does, you know, you deserve this, definitely. Like, my feelings on it is, I just want everyone else to feel it as well and get here as well as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I'm not going to feel guilty for doing, you know, and I have been trying a long time, you know, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But even it still feels the same to me for someone who's been trying for a year or 2 years, or, you know, and I went to the parenting after IVF session at Fertility Fest recently. And there's so much guilt, even for people who have been through fertility treatment and then get pregnant naturally, but they've still been through so much, or people who haven't had fertility treatment but have gone through, like, numerous losses.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how much shit do you have to take before you're not going to feel guilty? Don't feel guilty, people. Like, this is a good place. And especially if you're kind of good people and doing amazing things, which you two definitely are, you know, we're getting the message out there, getting people talking, you know, you're doing something to help build up this entire community. So, like, there should be no guilt whatsoever for anyone, though.
One thing that we used to do, like, right at the beginning when we first started the podcast, was we kind of make a joke out of people who... Because, you know, you've always got friends who are like, well, one of my friends was just about to start IVF, and then they got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, oh, who is that person? And we used to take
unicorn.
A piss. Yeah,
doesn't
exactly. So that actually happened to one of my friends recently, but whatever. But we used to mock those people. And then we got an email one day from somebody who was like, actually, feel really grateful that you're not one of those people, because I got pregnant just before I started IVF. We've been waiting a year to be referred. We were just about to start, got pregnant, had a loss. And then she was like, and now I have to wait 2 more years.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, okay, we've got to stop. Like, I certainly had to make a note to myself to stop, like, mocking people in certain circumstances, mm-hmm. because you never know what those people have been through.
No.
And it's just, and that is, can you imagine how heartbreaking that would be?
Gosh, I don't even know. It's awful. So let's talk about some of the good stuff that being pregnant is. So you get your positive test. So that's a good moment, however long it lasts.
Yeah.
Are there good moments at the moment, Gabby, for you? Like you said, you kind of talked about names and stuff. Let's try as much as possible, and I say this to everyone out there as well, like, throughout the pregnancy, to rationalise in our heads that talking baby names or buying a pair of maternity jeans is not going to affect the kind of the health of your baby or the medical kind of side of things. And, like, this is a conversation I've had with myself a lot of times.
Not to affect the outcome of my pregnancy.
You know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah,
I just don't go near it. But, you know, let's kind of assume that having a conversation is not going to affect the medical outcome of our pregnancies. So if you're comfortable with that. What have been the good things?
I think an overwhelming sense of relief. And I think it comes back to what Emma was saying earlier about the thought of having to kind of keep going. It is, and in this, I'm saying this as someone who hasn't had that longer journey, but the idea of going back into it and continuing to try, it's really scary and heartbreaking. So I kind of, like, I just feel, if not joy, obviously joy at times, but almost always feel relief. I've got one of those pregnancy apps.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was a bit embarrassed about, to be honest. But
which one have you got?
Ovia.
Yeah, I've got that one.
Well, I just find, you know, it tells me what size the baby is,
mm-hmm.
and, like, so mine at the moment is a blueberry. So my husband's always, you know, he says goodnight to baby blueberry, and, like, you know, it's just that just makes my heart just melt. I'm really enjoying those little things that we let ourselves kind of revel in. Definitely, yeah.
What about you, Emma?
Do you know what? The more pregnant I get, the more I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was looking, because my bump, I'm 24 weeks, like, my bump probably only really made an appearance properly around 22 weeks. And I was just looking in the mirror today, and I was like, I fucking love my body right now. Like, I love it. I love everything. I love eating all the time and not worrying about it. I'm eating so much sugar right now. I don't give a shit. I love how my husband is around me. He just, like, he's so loving at the moment. Like, he's still, like, himself, but he just, I love like, I don't know, like last night we were watching TV and he just sat with his hand on my belly, just like waiting for it to kick. You can't feel it. It kicks so hard, and I'll be like, did you feel that? And he'll be like, no. And I'll be like, you're an idiot then. Like, it just kicks so hard. But I love feeling it kick. Mm. I love, just, that is so special. I mean, you'll be sitting at work, like, typing away, and you'll feel it kick, and you'll just be like, can't concentrate now. Just thinking about you. And at the moment, I'm just so excited about giving birth and meeting this person. Mm-hmm. I keep getting, like, every time it kicks, I get a little pang of, like, I can't wait to meet you. And I'm not worried about birth at all. I don't know why. Like, I thought I'd be so anxious, but I've been reading a book about it, and it's got, like, you know, detailed descriptions of episiotomies.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, don't care. Like, I know that I can deal with that because I've dealt with so much shit already. I've had people rummaging around inside me while I've been awake. Like, it wasn't very comfortable, but it's fine. And I just know that I can get through it. So, and I think that's a good thing about having had a lot of kind of medical issues and having gone through a lot before you get pregnant, it's, you know that you are quite a hard ass.
Yeah.
So my birth is, I'm not worried.
I'm really excited about giving birth. I have to say, I'm less excited about the episiotomies.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest.
What's that?
I was just going to say, for those, because I didn't know, and my sister who's training to be a midwife was like, oh yeah, this, that and the other. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I haven't been
able to look it up because I'm a bit scared. But it's where they kind of cut you so the baby can come out and then you might have stitches.
I did say to my husband, like, while we're in the birth room, if somebody goes near my vagina with a pair of scissors, could you just stop them and ask them why?
Yes. It's entirely a conversation.
Yeah. Because this book that I'm reading at the moment is quite like, it's not like anti having those interventions, but it's quite like you need to be in control and you need to like know what's going on. So that's why it like lists all these procedures that you could go through. And it's got this like acronym about like what are the kind of figuring out whether you actually need this, because in the hospital they're going to be like, we need you to give birth because we probably need the room again. So it's quite like you take control, you know what's happening to you, make sure your birth partner knows what's going on, and then you, like, once you have all the information, then you can talk about whether you need it. Don't get rushed into stuff. I like that and we've all been in control throughout this. We've been in so much control of our pregnancies, of how we've got pregnant. Well, sometimes it feels like you're not in control.
Yeah, I know, it's funny. I think you could go either way with that, really.
But we have, like, you know, we've known about the drugs, we've known what kind of embryo we're putting in, we know all this information. Then to be wheeled into a birthing room and being like, right, midwife's taking over now.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no.
Hang on a minute.
Excuse me.
I've got this far, I'm going to finish it.
Exactly. Let me walk you through this. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. We're going to wrap it up here. Any words of advice for anyone listening out there at all?
For me, it's the further in the pregnancy you get, the nicer it is. Mm. The beginning is, like, Gabby stage is the hardest bit.
It is. You're really brave, Gabby, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I've got any advice, really, other than just try not to let those negative thoughts be the most strong ones in your head. Like, try and have a balance.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible to be completely positive, but I think just try and maintain a balance.
It's that thing that Kat, you said to me right at the beginning of my pregnancy, which is like, today you are pregnant, tomorrow might be different.
Yeah.
Today you're pregnant.
Yeah, definitely. And just to add to that, you know, like, if you're going to fall, you're going to fall. Like, I'm 33 and a half weeks pregnant. If something could still go wrong, you know, I appreciate it's less likely now, but it still could go very wrong. And I wouldn't want to now have lost kind of the last few weeks where I have been loving it. I'm going to fall anyway. Does it really matter how hard, you know? But I know that that's easier said than done, especially earlier on. But yeah, just try and, yes, and I think I said it on your podcast, funny enough, it's like, try and celebrate each day and each milestone and each scan and each kind of day that you are still pregnant.
Yeah,
because it is incredible and we've all worked so hard to get here.
Yeah, and I think you're right, it doesn't matter. You're not going to feel less awful about it if you've been positive. Like, it's just going to be just the same.
Yeah,
I think it's almost, and I know I need to wrap this up now, but it's almost like our ego will feel worse because you'll just feel like an idiot for believing it. And it's like, gosh, you know what, don't worry about that. That's kind of the last thing on our minds, I think. Just enjoy what you can, because that's the best thing. Brilliant. Thank you so much, ladies. I really appreciate it.
And we'll be
watching your stories and everything as we go forward. And we'll leave it there then.
Cool.
Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.